భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం
నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ దిన్ 11th క్యాంటో భక్తి యోగ చాప్టర్ 29 టెక్స్ట్ 7 అనా శ్రీ శుక వాచ ఇతుదా వినాత్యనురక్త చేతస పృష్టో జగత్ క్రీదనాక స్వశక్తి మూర్తి త్రయ ఈశ్వరేశ్వరో జగాదస ప్రేమ మనోహర స్మిత. Shukadev Goswami said, thus questioned by the most affectionate Uddhava, Lord Krishna, the supreme controller of all controllers, who takes the entire universe as his plaything and assumes the three forms of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, began to reply, lovingly displaying his own attractive smile. No problem, we should do next verse. Text 8. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Hantate Katayishyami Mama Dharmam Sumangalam Yanishradhaya Charam Martyo Mrityum Jayati Durjayam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, yes, I shall describe to you the principles of devotion to me, by executing which a mortal human being will conquer unconquerable death. Text 9. Kuryat sarvani karmani madartam sharanakai smaran mayarpita manaschitto maddharmatma manorati. Always remembering me, one should perform all his duties for me without becoming impetuous. With mind and intelligence offered to me, one should fix his mind in attraction to my devotional service. The words Maddharmatma Manorati means that all of one's love and affection should be devoted to pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not indicated here that one should try to relish selfish satisfaction in devotional service, but rather that one should be attracted to the Lord's own satisfaction, which one achieves by faithfully executing the order of a bona fide spiritual master, coming in disciplined succession from Lord Krishna himself. Attachment to one's own satisfaction, even within devotional service, is materialistic, whereas attachment to the satisfaction of the Lord is pure spiritual emotion. One more verse. Desham punyam ashrayita mat bhaktai sadubhishritam devasura manushyeshu mat bhakta charitani cha. One should take shelter of holy places where my saintly devotees reside, and one should be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees, who appear among the demigods, demons and human beings. Narad Muni is one of the great devotees of the Lord who appear among the demigods. Prahlad Maharaj appeared among the demons. And many other great devotees such as Ambarish Maharaj and the Pandavas appear among human beings. One should take shelter of the devotees' exemplary activities and also the holy places where the devotees reside. Thus one would remain safe on the path of devotional service. Ummagyanati milandasya gananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah shri chaitanya mano vishtam stavitam yena putale స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దాతి స్వలాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవం
Shirupam Sagaraj Tam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpataro Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitara Pavane Vyo Vrishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Kam Karoti Vacharam Pandulam Gayate Yad Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Nataranam Paramananda Madhanam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram
So, the Lord is instructing Uddhava about how to execute devotional service. First thing he said, while doing your duties, you should always remember me, that I am the controller, I am the owner and the enjoyer of everything. Don't forget that. Because if you forget that, you think you are enjoying your own result of your own activities, then you will be entangled in karma. So remembering me, and without becoming impetuous, remain calm. No matter what happens, comes and goes, remain calm. Don't be disturbed by the affairs of this world. Because in this world, must be disturbance. That's the nature of this world. So remaining calm and fixing your mind and remembering me and using your intelligence to me, then you will feel attraction for my devotional service. And how you should execute devotional service? You should tell Shaktar in the holy place where my sainted devotees reside. And one should try to follow, be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees, who appear among the demigods, demons, and human beings. So, among devatas, Narad Muni appeared as a great devotee. He appeared as the son of Lord Brahma. But Narad Muni, in his previous life, he was the son of a maidservant. Isn't? But describing his past life to his disciple Vyasadeva, he explained that before he was the son of a maidservant, he was a devata on the heavenly planet, the Gandharva Loka. And he was very, very good musician, very, very expert in all music, and very handsome, very nice looking. And he was very expert playing all kinds of instruments and singing very, very sweetly. So all the ladies were after him all the time. I was surrounding him, all the apsaras, you know. He was like very famous as a musician. So he explained to Vyasadeva that one day in Gandharva Loka, there was a meeting of great sages and demigods to perform Sankirtan Yaga, glorification of the Lord. And I went there, accompanied by all these beautiful, lusty girls who were my admirers. And I went there and I started to sing about mundane love and, and all these things. So the sages, they became disturbed with me. This is to glorify the Lord, not to glorify, mundane love and all these things. So one of the sages cursed me. He said, "You're acting like Sudra, you better become son of a maidservant," like that. But when I was born in this earth planet, I wasn't born
the son of a Sudra. No, I was born in a king palace. I was the prince. But so the sage word has to come true. So something happened. What happened is that another king invaded my father's kingdom. And my father was defeated in battle. So my mother has to leave the palace with me, you know, in her arms. I was a small baby. And she went to the forest. And there, one Brahmin was living there, you know, in his house, an old Brahmin, you know. So she took shelter in that place. And then she was serving the Brahmin, she became manservant of the Brahmin. So I became the son of a manservant in that way. So the word of the sages will come true. But then, while I was there, when I was around like maybe 5-6 years, some great devotees, they were doing parikrama, but in the Chaturmasya, the fourth rainy season, they decided to stay at the Brahmana's house. But that Brahmana, he already passed away, he was too old. So my mother stayed in the house, and she was serving the great Vaishnavas. And I was also helping her to serve them, bringing the prasad and everything. And of course, naturally, they would discuss among themselves about the glories of the Lord and the Krishna Leela and all this. And I was also listening. I became very attracted to hear the Lord's pastimes from them. And with their permission, they allowed me to eat the remnants of their prasad. So I became more poor, more and purified by their association. And before they left, they initiated me. They gave me Krishna mantra to chant, and they instructed me how to perform devotional service. So after they left, I felt so much their separation. I was crying, you know, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, dear Ramananda, what is the greatest pain in this world? And Ramananda said, my dear Lord, to be separated from the Vaishnava, that's the greatest pain. So, but this pain and separation brings happiness because you feel more close to the Vaishnava and to the Lord. It's called Vipralamba Seva, feeling separation. Actually, we were trained from the beginning of our spiritual life in ISKCON to serve Prabhupada in separation. Prabhupada was most of the time traveling all over the world. We couldn't hardly see him. I only have two times, one in South America, one in New York. In New York was the first New York Ratha Yatra. So the temple president told us, okay, you have one to go? You have only 2 weeks to collect the money for your ticket. By selling books, nothing else. Just by selling books, you know. And not the whole thing. You have to give, you know, the cost of the temple, only the profit you can use. So we did Sankirtan day and night just to see Prabhupada again. And 30 devotees we were able to go to New York. See Prabhupada again. It was such a wonderful experience. All the Fifth Avenue, which is the biggest avenue in the world, the longest one, Fifth Avenue was closed completely for the Radha Yatra. 3 big cars, you know. Police escort, you know, everything. Hundreds of devotees from all over the US, Canada, and the we came also from Canada. Oh, you are the only one outside Canada and US. Even a newspaper, they wrote an article in the front page of New York Times. And Tamakrishna Maharaj read to Prabhupada the article next day. You know? And the title said, East met West in the Fifth Avenue of New York. Prabhupada liked the title. And the article was explaining, you know, about Lord Jagannath, and how The Indian people took part, you know, they felt like, they interviewed some of them, some Gujaratis, some, you know, like that, and they said that they were completely so happy, you know, to see this tradition being held here in New York, you know. So, and they mentioned the devotees came from far away, like Canada and Caracas, something like that, in the newspaper. So, I mean, when Prabhupada was sitting on Subhadra's car, surrounded by all his elder disciples, sannyasi and everything. One sannyasi told Prabhupada, it's amazing that you started here 10 years ago, 66, without any money, nothing following. And 10 years later, you are passing triumphantly and over, with three cars, you know, Rata Yatra Jagannath. All the fifth time, Prabhupada smiled. That's the mercy of Lord Jagannath. Some very interesting incident happened. Many things happened there. The first day we arrived, the devotees staged that the temple was a 13-floor building. Before it was an hospital. Now they sold it some years ago. But big mistake, actually. They recognized after, you know. But anyway, this building has a big hall, you know, like theater hall. And the devotees performed for Prabhupada play, you know. They called the play name was Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, you know, the symptoms of Kali Yuga. You know? So different devotees were playing the, you know, Kam, Krodha, Lobha, you know, like that, you know, the agents of Kali, you know. So Prabhupada was watching, surrounded by sannyasi. We were in the back, Ramacharya, in the back of the sannyasis. And Prabhupada had a red rose in his hand. He was turning it around, smelling it from time to time. Somebody gave to him. And one of the ladies players, she was playing Kam, Lust. And she did so good that the sannyasi were looking out, you know, trying not to look at the stage, you know. She was very expert in playing like that. And Prabhupada was looking at the sannyasi, smiling, looking at the stage, you know. After the whole thing finished, Prabhupada went to the elevator. He was on the 11th floor, his room. So, while waiting, we were all, you know, there waiting also to be with Prabhupada. Prabhupada turned to the sannyasis and he told them, you must try to understand the mind of a pure devotee. When he sees a beautiful woman, he thinks, what a wonderful thing Krishna created. That just by looking at it, everybody gets bewildered. But he doesn't get it. He admires Krishna's creation, but doesn't want to enjoy it. That's the difference. Once Prabhupada told the reporter, she asking about his, you know, achievement, you know, spiritual achievement. Prabhupada said, you can put me in a room with all beautiful naked ladies, I will not feel no agitation at all. Prabhupada said like that. So, anyway, so when Narad Muni was a small boy, one day he only had in his world only his mother, nobody else. And his mother, while milking the cow, the snake came and bit her, poisonous snake, and she died. He was completely left alone in the world. Small little boy. But here, because he received transcendental knowledge from these sages, he controlled his emotions and fixed his mind on Krishna. He said, the only attachment I had in this world was my mother. And Krishna took also that attachment. So you have nobody else but the Lord to take shelter of. So, before he left, he said, now I have to go on Parinama, pilgrimage. So he made the, he burned all the house, along with his mother, made the, you know, yagya sacrifice, chanted all the mantras for his departed mother, for his soul, and he left. And he was every day meditating, you know, chanting. They taught him to chant Krishna mantra. So he was chanting and meditating on his heart, on the Lord. And after many years like that, living like that, very renounced, very devoted to the Lord, one day he was in deep meditation, and in his heart he saw the beautiful form of the Lord. He was completely immersed in transcendental ecstasy. And then he slowly opened his eyes, and he saw the same Lord in front of him. The same Lord he was seeing in his heart, he saw him in front of him. How he completely became more immersed in transcendental bliss. But immediately after he saw the Lord for a few seconds, the Lord disappeared. And he was so much anxiety to see the Lord again. And he was trying forcibly to see the Lord in his heart. But no matter how hard he tried, couldn't see the Lord again. But then the Lord spoke to him. He heard the voice of the Lord telling him, I appear to you just to increase your desire to achieve me. Those who are not completely 100% pure, they can't see me all the time. And what was Narad's, fault? He was following everything very strictly. He was doing everything nicely. What is the fault? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that Narada Muni still have a very small amount of attachment to the mode of goodness, meaning the beauty of the forest, you know, the scenery, beautiful scenery, and those things. That little small attachment to the mode of goodness. And that was an impediment. What to speak of attachment to the mode of passion and ignorance? Just see, even the mode of goodness has to be transcended. Of course, we should try to come first to the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness means Brahman, you know, like we read yesterday, Bhagavad Gita, that he's clean, he's self-controlled, control the mind, the senses, he's religious, he has knowledge. He's devoted to the Lord. All these good qualities are there. And that's in the mode of goodness. Once Prabhupada was walking in Mayapur, you know, morning walk around the property there. And he saw some bathroom very dirty. Prabhupada immediately stopped and protested. Called the professor, why this bathroom are dirty? Oh, Prabhupada, these Bengalis, they don't know how to use these Western bathrooms and this and that. But then when you don't teach them how to do it? Prabhupada never accepted excuses, you know. And then at the lecture, when he gave Bhagavatam lecture, Prabhupada said, if you are in the mode of ignorance, and you see something in mode of ignorance, you will not react. But if you are in the mode of goodness, and you see something in mode of ignorance, you immediately will react. So you see something wrong, you can't remain, you know, like nothing happened. You have to protest. So this is not correct. So, anyway, when finally Narad Muni left his body, immediately he took the spiritual body. In a second. Of course, he appeared as the son of Brahma, mental son of Brahma. By his mind, Brahma so powerful creates sons. And he was one of those sons. But that body was completely transcendental, spiritual, wasn't material. The body of Narad Muni. He became liberated as such. Not only that, Krishna personally gave him a veena to play. Because he was attached to music from other birth. So Lord, you know, being very merciful, he gave him this instrument. And through the sound of this instrument, he could fly all over the universe, material and spiritual. Just by playing the veena will transport him, you know, to any place, material or spiritual, complete freedom to go anywhere, everywhere. And Narada Muni also went to Vrindavan. One time he went to Vrindavan and started to chant the glories of Radha and Krishna, so sweet, so beautiful in his veena. Krishna was very pleased. And he told Narada Muni, Narada, you ask me anything you want. I'm pleased with you. Narada Muni said, well, I would like to see you one day sitting on the, what is that? The swing, along with Lalita. I would like to see that Lila, you with Lalita on the swing. Krishna said, yes. One day you will see. So, after some time, Krishna and Radharani were together, they were talking. And Krishna told Radharani, my dear Radha, please be very careful with this Narada. Sometimes he likes to get people in trouble. So Radharani said, oh, he can't create any problem amongst us. Oh, I know that, but still be careful with him. So anyway, after some time, Narada Muni came back to Vrindavan. And Krishna, along with the gopis, were waiting for Radharani to have the swing lila, you know. But then Narada Muni came and reminded Krishna of his blessing. Please, now is Lalita here, you are here, the swing is here, please. Let me see this lila. So Lalita didn't want to see it, you know. No, there is a place of Radharani, not me, I can't. No, just to please Narada, you know, I'm giving this blessing. The gopis pushed her forcibly and made her sit. And they were swinging then, you know. Narada Muni immediately went to Varsha. and he was chanting with his veena, so Radharani will hear, Lalita Krishna, Lalita Krishna. Radharani came up. Why are you chanting Lalita Krishna? I always chant Radha and Krishna. You know? Kishore, why are you chanting now? Ah, you are so naive, Radharani. You don't know what is going on in your back. You are here very peaceful, and your Krishna is swinging along with Lalita. Can't be. I want to go immediately there. So she went there and started to chastise Krishna and Lalita, you know. Lalita was completely devastated and came to bow down at Radharani, please forgive me, you know, I was forced, like, no, she don't want to speak to her, don't to Krishna, everything. So Krishna was trying to pacify Radharani, and he told her, remember that I told you once that this Narada Muni is it's like that. So he explained to her everything, and okay, she forgot him, you know. Narada Muni also he wanted also to see, you know, the Ras Lila, like Shiva. And he also took body, spiritual body as Naradi, a female body, to see the Lila of the Lord, you know. So and he's traveling all over the universe. He has disciples everywhere. Once Narada Muni preached to big snakes, and the snake, hearing his preaching, became devotee. The snake became devotee. So everybody was fearful of these big snakes, but after she became devotee, became very, you know, non-violent and peaceful. So when Narada Muni came back a year later to see his disciple snake, he found that the snake had wounds all over the body, you know. And he asked her, why you have this? She said, well, since I don't bite anyone, the children take advantage and always they throw stones at me and beat me like that. But I am practice tolerance and humbleness, I don't react. Narada Muni say, no, you should not do like that. If they come to harm you, you should show your teeth and hiss your tongue and look at them fiercely. But of course, you don't bite anyone. Just frighten them only.
uh,
So they will not harm you, but don't harm anyone, of course. So meaning, sometime a devotee may get angry or something, but it's external, not real, in the sense that devotee doesn't, should not keep on his heart any grudge against anyone. Should not have bad feeling toward anyone. Because the Lord is in the heart of every living entity. How can you have bad feelings toward anyone? The Lord will not be pleased, you know. Listen. There's one nice pastime about this, very important, in Vrindavan. There was one great, very rich landlord in Calcutta. His name was Lal Babu.
Lal,
Lal Babu, yes. And he was very rich, very handsome, very intelligent, and also very pious soul, you know, very pious soul, devoted of the Lord. But he was very attached to material enjoyment and all these things, you know, although he was devoted. One day, the servants were taking him in a palanquin to the Ganga Sagar, you know, where the ocean and Ganga they meet. And he was, you know, seeing the nice ocean, having a nice, you know, he was smoking his hookah, you know, this water, what is the name, pipe or something. Anyway, his hair was combed with very nice fragrant oils, you know, nice old silk dress, you know, fanning the servant, fanning, he was like enjoying life, you know. So anyway, suddenly one girl was calling her father, the fisherman, you know, they are the shore there. He was sleeping, so she was waking him up. She calling, Utishto, Utishto, wake up, wake up. And when he heard this calling, wake up, wake up, he took it as Radharani was calling him, wake up and come to me. He had complete change of heart, you know, by this experience. He made to get as Radharani was telling him to come to her and wake up. So he decided to leave everything and go to Vrindavan. So he came home, told his family members, here you have everything, you know, the money you need, properties, everything, I'm going to Vrindavan. They were very sorry and everything, tried to stop him. He was determined completely to go. So he went to Vrindavan and was living very austerely, you know, practicing devotional service to the Lord, chanting, everything, no? And one night, the Lord appeared in a dream to him and told him, I would like you to make me a temple. So he was very happy. He woke up next day and he thought, I have still some money, you know, this place, this bank or something, there's some money there. So he used that money to buy property. But then he was interested to buy one land to make the temple. But that same land, another devotee was also trying to buy.
Argula.
Argula, yes. So there was a fight in court because they were trying to get the same land. They became, you know, irritated with each other, you know. They would not speak to each other, you know, like that. Finally, Lal Babu got the land. And he constructed a nice temple and installed Krishna Deity, everything. And it was winter time. He invited all people, you know, made a big festival, prasad distribution, very nice. And after everything finished, he closed the door and asked the pujari, I want to taste if the prana pratishta ceremony is okay. Please put some solid butter on the head of the Lord to see if it melts. It's winter time, it's not. So here is always some heat on the head, you know, isn't it? If you touch here, you will feel it. So the pujari said, okay, he put some solid butter there and it started to melt. So there was some heat in the Lord's hair. The Lord was there. And then he told him, now put some cotton in front of the nostrils of the Lord to see if he's breathing. And he did that and the cotton was moving, you know. So he was very happy that the Lord reciprocated with him. The Lord was there present in his deity form. So he met one very nice sadhu from Govardhan. And very saintly, very pure devotee of the Lord. He was attracted to him. So he asked him for initiation. And the sadhu told him, yes, I want to give initiation, but you are not ready yet. There is something you have to solve in your life. Until then, you will not get it. But I will not tell you. You have to find out what it is. So he was very intrigued, Lal Babu. He was praying to the Lord, please, my Lord, you know, let me know what I have to do. So the Lord appeared to him in a dream again. And the Lord told him, my dear Lal Babu, I want you to make me another temple. Lal Babu said, my dear Lord, but I don't have any more money. I spent all the money building this temple. I don't have the means to build another temple. The Lord said, no, I'm not referring to a temple made of bricks and stone. I want you to make a temple for me in your heart. But to do that, you first have to solve some problem you have in your heart first. Then you will be able to make it. Then he immediately understood what was the problem that the Guru told him. The problem he had with another Vaishnava. So, when he understood, he immediately went to that Vaishnava temple, because that Vaishnava also has his own temple. And every evening he will come out and with his own hand distribute the Mahaprasad to the people, to the, you know, pilgrims and sadhus will come, make line, and he will give them personally. So he also was standing on the line to get the prasad from him, you know. So some devotees informed that Vaishnava, that, what was his name?
Hargula.
They told Hargula, you know who is in the queue?
Lal Babu.
He can't be. He met some other devotee in the Sul Prasad, and he came with a silver plate, you know, with Mahaprasad, you know, and some coin, golden coins and everything with nice, you know, flowers, everything. And he came to the queue and said, please, you don't have to stand here in the queue. Please come, take this prasad, you know. He said, no, I'm offended. I offended you, you know. I have bad feelings toward you because we have this fight over the land. And please forgive me. I'm very sorry. No, I also have that feeling. Please, you excuse me. So they both cried, embraced each other, paid obeisance to each other. They had prasad together. Everything was solved very nicely. Next day, when the devotee arrived, told him, Guruji is calling you. He said, you are ready now for initiation. See? So that means, if you want to make spiritual advancement in our life, we can't have any bad feelings toward any devotee. Remember the Jesus Christ said, you hate the sin, but not the sinner. Very important instruction. Very important instruction. Even if the devotee has sometimes do something wrong, we should not hate them or have any bad feeling toward them. We should hate that this is not correct. We should be corrected. That's right. But no bad feeling toward them. Because some or other they're trying, you know, to serve the Lord with all their imperfection. We have also so many faults ourselves, so we should try, you know, to be tolerant and try, first of all, try to rectify our own self before trying to rectify everybody else, you know.
This temple is next to Gopeshwar.
Yes, it's there.
Hargula is the one who is so many years been giving boga to Baki Bihari and
yes.
Bastana.
Yes, correct. The two temples most visited in Vrindavan are Baki Bihari and Dariska. The most visited, the more crowded.
I think it's about 150 years old. Is it still
the same one? The world issue is not longer.
Which one? Yes. 150 years, something like that. 150 years.
So this Haruga Prabhu is the generation?
The same thing, yes. Yeah,
same. I went and met the guy again with the Basana, they are running the kitchen. So Haruga deposited some money on the interest that's going on. So now what the stand, the costs have gone up, the money is not sufficient. So they approached the people. So I want to supply it as an exalted soul, I'll be doing opera. So I went to an organization and I said, can I? The guy who was looking after his nephew, he refused. He said, he wants you to supply a cake. So they gave permission to build a kitchen on top. So they were planning to build a temple for the, this thing. I said, I will give you ingredients because I have an exalted soul. So I have small, insignificant souls. I would like to add because he did a great thing and that money is not sufficient for the boga. So I went and met that gentleman. He's staying in the Vakibihari courtyard only. All the boga, without his permission, nothing goes to Vakibihari. Everything is Barbuda, even Barsana, even in Gaurus and all that thing. He put some money. So it's going on now, traditionally. Okay. And he goes to Vakibihari from Angura's kitchen.
Do you want to hear some secret about Banki Bihari ji? Would you like to hear that? Okay, I'm going to share with you this. If you go to the Banki Bihari temple, you will find that the lotus feet of Banki Bihari ji always covered with the dhoti, never show. Once in a year they only show. That's in the day of, the sandalwood,
the Chandan Yatra.
Only that day, Chandan Yatra, they will show. And the reason is this. When Haridas Swami, he discovered this deity, you know.
Yes.
But when he discovered the deity, there were two deities, Radha and Krishna, not one, two. But Haridas Swami talked to them, said, my dear Lord, I'm a sannyasi. I have no problem, you know, serving you, Krishna. But I have difficulty serving Radha because I have to buy bangles and sarees and all this. I say, sannyasi, you know, doesn't look good to buy those things. So please, do something to help me. I want to serve both of you. So both became one, merged in each other. They became Banki Bihari. So if you are fortunate to go there in Chandan Yatra, and see Charan Darshan, and if you notice carefully the lotus feet of the Lord, you will see one feet is smaller and the one is bigger.
Yeah.
Because one feet is Radharani's feet and the other is Krishna's foot. They came together like that. Many past times have Banki Bihari, you know. Do you know why they close and open the curtains all the time? Because once, before they were doing that, one great Vaishnava came and was singing so sweetly to the Lord with so much devotion that when he left the temple, Banki Bihari was left behind it. So we'll not have a rough time to attract the Lord to go with them. So that's why they do like that. One day, you know, somebody gave to Banki Bihari a very nice golden ankle belt. So they will put it every evening, they will put it on Banki Bihari, you know. Very beautiful, golden ankle belt. But one day the pujari opened the door, locked the door, and saw that the ankle belt disappeared. Said, how is this possible? I was personally who locked the door at night. Nobody was there. And the lock is still, nobody destroyed or anything. So how is this ankle disappearing? It was completely bewildered how to find that. So the news spread that Banki Bihari lost his ankle belts around, you know. So one vendor who used to always stop outside the temple to sell hot milk and puri and sweets, he came with the ankle belts. How is this? You know, you get to the puja. How you got this? Oh, last night, one very nice, beautiful boy came to me, said he want to drink milk and have puris with jaggery and all this. So I told him, but do you have any money? I can't give you without money. He said, well, I only have this ankle belt. You take this. You give me everything I want. Yeah, take everything you want. There's more than enough. So he took a full gallon of milk and he took a pile of puri with it. Then the pujari understood, oh, the Lord wanted to eat. So now, every night they put a gallon of hot milk and a pile of hot puris and jaggery and everything. So he would not go out to look for it.
But night is Sayanstan and Sanyastan. He doesn't sleep there.
Yes, yes.
He goes to Sanyastan.
Yes.
Sain is there and Sanyastan is. Actually, the Sanyastan people are the Haridas Swamis. They gave it to these Pandas.
Yes, yes. Actually, one of the pujaris invited me to his home to prasad, you know. And he showed me all manuscripts in Sanskrit, you know. Original writing of the Goswamis he was keeping, you know, from 500 years old.
Goswamis?
Yes. Original writing he had. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji?
Yes, I want to thank you for such a wonderful teaching.
Thank
I have
you.
One request. You made many wonderful points. I always had a, you know, like when Maharajas and all people come, they speak about Bhagavatam, Gita and Bhakti. And I always feel little inside that nobody covers in detail about our behavior towards each other. Vaishnavas.
Yes.
Now, you have covered that subject so beautifully, but I feel that we need maybe one thing. I'm not qualified to say anything, but I'm just saying from the heart.
Yes, yes.
That, you know, we have from Vilasa Prabhu basic guidance to Krishna consciousness. Now we need one book, basic guidance, instructions for evermore, for our children, for us, aspiring devotees,
yes.
About etiquette, behavior.
Actually, there is already such a book.
Yeah. Is there?
It's called, it's called Vaishnava Etiquette. And I think Bhaktichara Swami, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, made some compilation about that.
Is that
we have to make it available to the devotees.
It's available here.
Ah, yes. Yes, you have it? So maybe we need more copies for all the devotees to have, to read.
Is that the same way, the way you speak? You cover it? Because you cover it in a very simple, nice way, with examples, and stories.
Well, I don't think that is there in the book, but...
That's what I'm saying. You know, it becomes very hard.
Well, you have the recording here. You know. I mean... my experience is Krishna causes a change of heart. Unless your heart change, how can you be real Vaishnava? You know? Unless there is Krishna touch your heart, you know, a pure devotee touch your heart, there is some change. No matter how much you give instruction, somebody can change. It has to come from the heart. And how this happens? Only by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava. So. So we have to pray for that change in our own heart. So we can also be good example for others also. All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Premanandi. Ah,